Settle in, children, for another episode of Sokonori. Get yourself a hot chocolate and get all tucked up under a duvet, because it's time for another episode of Sokonori.
It is that time of year where you can just snuggle up.
It is getting that time of year,
with your
isn't
electric
it?
Blanket.
Yeah. Don't have a hot chocolate when you've got an electric blanket, though, because you don't want to spill it and then electrocute yourself. Do you? Is that how electric blankets work? I don't know.
I imagine they're tested for that sort of thing.
I don't know. I've never used one electric blanket. I've always been worried about it, like, it's setting on fire.
It's not actually a blanket. It's just, like, bare wires that you just pull over yourself.
Like what they had at the Tough Mudder.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that would work. Like, you wouldn't feel the cold anymore, would you? So this week we have an episode entitled, this is from Soccer's Strangest Matches by Andrew Ward, and this one is called Not One Shot at Goal.
But two.
Possibly.
two shots at goal.
Not one, though, is it? Got you. Like M. Night Shyamalan. That was the twist. Stoke, April 1898.
How many of these have been in Stoke?
Too many. All of them are in terrible places.
Because for the first sort of 100 years of the Football League, there were three teams.
And they were all from Stoke, all three of them. Modern day soccer may have had its highly developed defensive strategies, or may have its highly developed defensive strategies, and across the field build up. But the strangest shot-shy game of all took place more than 80 years ago when Stoke City and Burnley engineered a goalless draw to save their places in the First Division.
Ooh, controversial.
Sounds controversial. Also, Stoke City and Burnley could still be the case. Like, if that sort of game, you expect 0-0.
And it wouldn't be engineered.
No, they'd be trying their hardest, but they've got about 10 players behind the ball at all times. Stoke and Burnley were engaged with two other teams, Newcastle and Blackburn, in a series of test matches to decide promotion and relegation between two divisions. Oh.
Wait, so of these four teams, either one could be promoted and or... relegated.
I think it from... Well, the way I'm imagining it is like the top two, or bottom two of the Premier League and the top two of the league below... seem to have played each other.
I see.
To see who gets relegated. That's how I'm picturing it. But they call them test matches.
Like a playoff.
Yeah, like a playoff, but with teams from both divisions.
Yes.
Which I quite like. I like that as an idea. Yeah, because if you're good enough to beat the team that's at the top of the division below, you should still stay in your division.
Arguably.
I think that's fair. Ish. It depends how bad you play, I suppose, throughout the season. Yeah. But yeah. So they're engaged with promotion and relegation. On the morning of the final round of matches, Stoke and Burnley were joint top of the mini-league. A draw would suit them both, but it didn't suit the 4,000 people who braved torrential rain and strong wind to attend the game at Stoke's Victoria Ground.
Sounds about right.
Yep. I mean, it's not changed, has it, Stoke? Still wet and windy and holds 4,000 people in the stadium. It was a fiasco. The goalkeepers hardly touched the ball. Fiasco is a really good word, by the way. That's a really over-the-top word.
Particularly for something with no goals. Yeah. That's not a fiasco.
It's not all. The goalkeepers hardly touched the ball. Passes went to opponents when either team looked well-placed to attack. And if a forward did by chance find himself in a shooting position, he would aim at the corner flag. Players' kit remained surprisingly clean in the atrocious conditions, and the best chance of goal, best chance of a goal, was a tame back pass.
I hope it came quite late on, and the crowd were
because keepers were still allowed to pick up back passes in those days, weren't they?
Probably,
so
yeah.
So they'd be like, oh, and the keeper just picks it. Oh,
oh,
boo, you fat bastard. The crowd quickly realised what was happening. They booed and jeered, or, for variation, cheered sarcastically. I like that.
This sounds like a really good game for the crowd.
It does, yeah. The crowd have been loving it. Like everyone goes to football for the chance to boo, don't they?
Yes.
That's the only reason to go. Boo the opposition, boo your own team, boo the physio, boo the referee.
My nephew went to his first game other week. It was his birthday, and so they put up on the big thing. It was at Ipswich Town.
Really?
Quite a big stadium.
Yeah.
Flying Portland high Road. In the championship at the moment.
Yeah.
So they put up on the big screen, happy birthday, Henry.
Hope
you enjoy your first match.
No.
But 90 minutes was a bit much for him, and he started to get bored.
Yeah, as he would.
But my sister assures me he got really into the booing.
Of course he did.
So just like woke up from a slump. Every time
there's a boo. Well, me, I want to do this. I went to a football game when I was a kid. I wasn't that young. I was probably in my teens.
Mm.
And we went with my brother and his one of his friends from school who had Asperger's, or has Asperger's, I suppose. And he loved the booing. That was one of his favourite things as well. Every time there was a boo, it was only at like Kendall Town, so it was a real low-end game. There's only like 50 people in the crowd. But at one point, the ball came over and he thought the throw-in should have gone to the other team. And he goes to the linesman, "You are a disgrace!" From this little 10-year-old. It was absolutely hysterical. I've never enjoyed anything more at a football ground.
I imagine the linesman's probably never heard anything so hurtful.
From a 10-year-old voice.
Like being called all sorts of names under the sun, but a disgrace.
Oh, that cut me deep. Oh, it's so funny. So they booed and jeered, or for variation, cheered sarcastically. They even shouted words of advice.
What?
Come off the field. We're doing more than you. And one person said, play the game.
One person.
It's not really advice, is it? Another went, them goal nets were invented for a reason, which is lovingly sort of rural.
Who's picking out these like specific phrases
no
from
idea.
Individuals?
I'm assuming this was reported in the newspaper or something, because surely, unless there's 4,000 people there, you can't hear individual people shouting. Unless they were chants.
Yeah, that's probably more likely.
Yeah, them goal nets were invented for a reason. Doesn't scan very well, it's not an easy thing to chant. As the second half progressed, still no goals, still no shots at goal. The crowd on the Boothen Road side of the ground began to make their own entertainment. When the ball was kicked into their small wooden stand, they hung on to it. To their utter disgust, another ball appeared. Undaunted, however, they tried again and again and again. They just kept keeping the ball whenever it was moved into the stand. This small section of the crowd spent most of the second half trying to stop the game by keeping all of the football. Now, how often did they boot it out for a throw-in?
That's true, because given the pace of this game, they could just choose not to.
Yeah, let's just not go over that side of the ground, lads. We're not going to go in either penalty area or that side of the ground.
We've already decided this game's going to be a draw.
Yeah.
We could probably just decide to keep it away from
there. Let's just play on this side, on the other side of the pitch. It'll be all right. They put one on top of the grandstand and another in the River Trent. 5 balls were used altogether, but the game continued to its bitter goalless end. So they only used 5. Now, that's not that many.
It's not loads, no.
So I guess
you bigged it up a little bit.
Yeah, they have a little bit, yeah. But I guess he was right in saying they tried again and again and again. It just sounded like they carried on after that, but he was actually right. It was 4 times. The crowd's game within a game did lead to the day's best action. A linesman sprinted along the touchline in a bid to catch a ball before it went into the crowd. That's pretty good.
And did he fall over?
A perambulating policeman had his eye on the same ball. The linesman collided with the policeman.
Yes.
And they lay spread-eagled across the track.
Whey!
The crowd roared, but only with laughter. That has got to be the best moment of any football match.
Yeah,
at all.
A policeman running into a linesman.
Not only a referee getting knocked out, but also a policeman. That's perfect. Dickhead! The result was never in doubt. Stoke City retained their first division status and Burnley were promoted from Division 2. Oh, okay, so Burnley were coming up. Poor Newcastle United, whose players were showing much more effort in defeating Blackburn, finished third in the mini-league, a point behind Stoke and Burnley. So, yes, they were showing more effort, perhaps, in that one game.
But, I mean, they had to.
Exactly. They were already relegated. So yeah. They can't really feel that sorry for them.
No.
Perhaps one interesting question is how the goalless draw was arranged such that the players trusted one another.
Yes.
Among the participants were an experienced Jimmy Ross, who had played five successive test match series for Preston, Liverpool and Burnley.
It sounds like bad luck for your team.
Like a good player to have. And most interestingly, Happy Jack Hillman. So it's put Jack and then Happy Jack in the middle, like inverted commas. Could have just called him Happy Jack Hillman.
Yeah.
That would have been easier to read. the burly and brilliant Burnley goalkeeper. That's a bit of a tongue twister. The burly and brilliant Burnley goalkeeper, whose career was always within a whisker of controversy and comedy. Oh, I was going to say it doesn't go on to say anything, but it does. Hillman, a Devonian by birth, played for Burnley and Everton before a two-season spell with Dundee. During his second season with the Scottish club, Hillman was suspended for not trying.
What?
I don't know. Which is why he came to Burnley for £130 in time to help them into the First Division. What? That doesn't make sense. So he was...
Well, if I can't not try here, yeah. I'm going to go not try somewhere else.
I'm going to get paid £130 to go not try down here. I don't understand that. He was suspended, so he wasn't allowed to play in the Scottish League. Is that what they're saying? So therefore I had to come and play in England?
Perhaps, yeah.
Not very clearly written. Hillman was then in his late 20s, but much was still to happen to him. He played a game.
I hope so. He's still young.
No, nothing happened for the rest of his life at that point. He literally just sat in a room after that.
Not trying.
That does sound like it. He played a game for England, was twice suspended by the FA for a season from 1900 to 1901 for allegedly bribing Nottingham Forest players to lose to Burnley. And for 8 months in 1906 to 1907 for receiving illegal payments as a Manchester City player. Doesn't say what for, but I can only assume for not trying. So it does seem to be a theme. He either is not trying or bribing other people not to try. Jack Hillman had once won a bet that he could keep goal in a charity match with one hand tied behind his back and still not concede a goal. And he won that bet. So that's pretty impressive.
Because he offered half of his winnings to the strikers?
It was all the Burnley players again, wasn't it?
Yeah.
At Stoke, on that farcical goalless afternoon, he had no need to handle the ball at all. Indeed, he had already bet someone that he would not concede four goals in Burnley's four test matches. He had let three in before the Stoke stroll, and there was no chance of a fourth going past him that afternoon. So it's beginning to sound like Jack Hillman had a lot of money riding on this game.
Yeah.
And therefore, that's why it was 0-0.
Yeah. They had several reasons to ensure that
this is... A few thousand reasons, but The Stoke-Burnley game goes down in history on two counts. The authorities' disgust at the players' actions led to the curtailing of test matches in favour of automatic promotion and relegation.
Whoa, so almost single-handedly, this guy...
Yeah, with one hand tied behind his back.
has changed how promotion and relegation works. Incredible.
That's pretty amazing.
Unsung hero.
Yeah, genuinely, if there's more stories, we might have to do it. And secondly, and as far as I am aware, talking as Andrew Ward, it was the only game without a shot on goal played at the highest of levels.
Well, we can... only take your word for that, Andrew. Yeah.
I don't think shots on goal were kept as like a statistic for a long time, so there may well have been another one.
Probably, with some of the like farcical games we've heard about.
There's a lot of this book left, so there's probably another one in here. There have been games where teams have settled for a result by mutual consent, notably West Germany's 1-0 win over Austria.
Yes, that famous one.
I didn't know about this. Which enabled both countries to progress to the next group of the 1982 World Cup finals.
Yeah.
I hadn't heard about that. That's
quite a famous one,
I guess so, but yeah. Yeah, I guess that makes sense. West Germany and Austria, they're kind of linked in history. Interesting. And the relegation escaping 2-2 draw between Coventry and Bristol City in 1977. Sounds like the same as this one, where they both just needed a point to stay up. But 2-2.
Living on the edge. Like, whoever takes the lead, fuck you.
You can't really trust the other team to just let them score.
Yeah.
Do you reckon they did 2-2 so that people wouldn't look into it?
Perhaps, yeah. They've read this book.
Yeah, exactly. Better have some shots, lads. At least two each. And there have always been goalless games which have tested the spectators' patience. That is certainly true.
I've been to Villa.
Yeah, done them. When Chelsea met Portsmouth in an end-of-season goalless bore in 1932, the highlight of the game was when the ball burst.
What?
The ball's packed up, shouted one spectator. Why don't you do the same?
Hey, Dunham.
The policeman, wasn't it? Any survivors from the Stoke Burnley pantomime would have sympathised. Survivors? How bad was that collision? I got to be a baked potato.
That's right, bitches.
Then you ruined it.
See ya, suckers.